The real great reset. You will own everything and be happy. All scriptures are quoted from the New King James Version. I'm pretty sure most of you will have heard about the great reset at one time or another. Depending on the source of our information, it's either the perfidious plan of a globalist elite to establish world governance, or a crude conspiracy theory about just that. However, I will just refer to the underlying facts here to give you an overview of the Great Reset and the associated changes we can supposedly expect. The German Wikipedia has the following to say. The Great Reset is the term used by the World Economic Forum to describe its initiative to reshape the global economy and society in the wake of the COVID-19 pandemic. It aims to place a stronger focus on equity, society, and sustainability. The initiative was drafted by WEF Director Klaus Schwab and unveiled in June 2020. Klaus Schwab himself, and one cannot help notice, a certain resemblance to some kind of James Bond villain and a kind of a German Dr. Strangelove, has to say this about the Great Reset. A Great Reset is necessary to build a new social contract that honors the dignity of every human being. The global health crisis has exposed the unsustainability of our old system in terms of social cohesion, lack of equity, and inclusiveness. Nor can we turn our backs on the ills of racism and discrimination. We must build into this new social contract our intergenerational responsibilities to ensure that we meet the expectations of young people. We must ensure that new technologies in the digital, biological, and physical world continue to put people first and serve society as a whole by providing fair access to all. Great. So far, so good. Sounds fantastic, isn't it? Well, on the last few occasions that I can remember, such denounced problems, just like racism, sustainability, discrimination, justice, lack of equal outcome, have ever and only been used as buzzwords to push or advance a Marxist, socialist, or communist agenda. But maybe the rich and powerful this time are serious. Who knows? After all, the donors of this private foundation include corporations such as Apple, Amazon, Alibaba, BlackRock, Coca-Cola, Deutsche Bank, VW, and Walmart. All of them knows to always have the common good in mind. One wonders how independent such a foundation can be. Who pays the music determines the playlist. Let's look at the warning about the future that the WEF thought leaders are using to convince us and his target audience, mainly politicians who pretend to represent you and me, to convince them of the need of this great reset. Here's an excerpt from a speech by Yuval Harari, one of the keynote speakers. In the past, many governments and tyrants wanted to do it, but no one understood biology well enough, and no one had enough computing power and the data to hack millions of people. Neither the Gestapo nor the KGB could do it. But soon, at least some companies and governments will be able to systematically hack all humans. We humans should get used to the idea that we are no longer mysterious souls. We are now hackable animals. Already billions of people trust the Facebook algorithm to tell us what's new. The Google algorithm to tell us what's true. Netflix to tell us what to watch. And the Amazon and Alibaba algorithms tell us what to buy. So I don't know how about you, but I'm totally convinced. The Great Reset promises to remedy all of these problems, and that's fantastic. And then everything will be fine for sure. But jokes aside, regardless of whether these are the real noble goals or whether there's a sinister agenda behind them, is it realistic to believe that humanity can solve its own problems? Does technology really offer the means to change the fate of this planet for the better? Without prejudging the answer to this, I would like to refer in this context to a sermonette by Mr. Manuel Müller entitled Artificial Intelligence as a Trigger for the Third World War. Of course, we know that man is not capable of turning the situation around for the better. A quick glance at the news is enough to see the status quo. Governments around the world becoming more and more autocratic. Dictatorships are being introduced under euphonious terms such as justice, climate protection, security, and health. And the world is closer to a nuclear war than it has been since the Cuba Missile Crisis. One must say that is indeed true as the time has advanced, but the nuclear war will not be between the positions between the parties the world assumes, of course. Media and politics are full of lies and of propaganda. And the madness of the world is hidden behind hypocritical terms like morality. In all this, we are left with only one source that reveals the truth. So let's open our Bible together and read who is the real ruler behind all these media, these political figures, the big foundations, the think tanks, and the corporations. Please turn with me to a very familiar scripture at Luke 4, Luke chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. Luke chapter 4, starting in verse 5. Then the devil, taking him on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in one moment of time. And the devil said to him, "All this authority I will give you, and their glory. For this has been delivered to me, and I give it to whomever I wish." Christ did not contradict it at all. For he knew perfectly well that the power of all human kingdoms was in the hands of Satan the devil. Moreover, the Bible reveals us that Satan is the god of this world and has deceived all men. This alone should assure us that people, normal human beings like you and me, cannot bring any significant improvement in this situation on their own, let alone a true great reset. In fact, all the signs are pointing to a storm. And a time lies ahead that will be worse than anything the world has ever seen. I'm speaking of the events ultimately culminating in the Great Tribulation and the Day of the Lord. The prophetic fulfillment which surrounds us, affects our lives, and through we must pass. Humanly speaking, I understand everyone who is already intense now and is very worried about the time to come. In this regard, I found an interesting quote from the Swiss diplomat and historian Karl Jakob Burckhardt, which I do not want to withhold from you. Mr. Burckhardt said, "It is one of the most difficult things that can be imposed on a thinking man to have to witness the course of a historical process among ignorant people whose inevitably outcome he has known for long with clarity. The time of error of others, of false hopes, of blindly committed mistake then becomes very long." Distressing insight, isn't it? For us who have been given by God the revelations of the Bible, the only authority, certainly well to understand. And even though Mr. Burckhardt recognized with the coming developments of the Second World War a forerunner of what is the world facing now again, and for the last time, I must say, it's still questionable whether anyone today recognizes that human civilization is on the verge of total annihilation. No human great reset, no fundamental change, be it conceived by so-called philanthropists, by politicians, by corporate leaders, think tanks or foundations, none of them will be able to prevent this. The opposite is the case. In fact, all these efforts will have a part in making these events happen. People deceive themselves when they put their hope in their own endeavors. They blank out God, as they have by and large always done, and confirm Satan in his dominion over this earth. But this is not the hope that has been given to us. Our hope, our vision, is from completely different nature. We are all blessed with a realization which, for the most part, has been completely unknown among men at this time as well as every other time in history until now, but which will eventually come to all mankind. We have already heard much about it in the course of the last few days, not only at the Feast of Tabernacles, but also at the most holy days which God has commanded us to keep. We had this topic yesterday in the Bible study. This realization includes the truth about the nature and work as well as the masterful plan of our Creator, our God. It includes our potential and our future, but precisely also the truth about the desolate state of humanity and the time ahead. Unlike Mr. Burkhardt, however, we have an assurance from God himself that this time will end. And not only that, in contrast to all the lofty plans that people have devised, whether for honorable or for dishonored motives, we know something that no one in the world, except members of the true Church of God, have ever known, more than they even suspect. No established religion, no elitist club of supposedly good people offers an answer or a way out that even comes close to God's plan. Let us consider what Christ will do when he returns to this earth. Please turn with me to Acts chapter 3, verse 21. Acts chapter 3, reading verse 21. I take this out of the Bible translation from Dr. James Moffat. Who, and he's talking about Christ, who must be kept in heaven till the period of the great restoration. Ages ago, God spoke of this by the lips of his holy prophets. And then, what will be our role in the millennium, the 1,000-year-lasting kingdom that Christ will establish on this earth after his return? Mr. Link has already gone into detail in a sermon on the second day, but let us read it again and turn to Revelation 5. Verse 10, Revelation chapter 5, reading verse 10, where we read, "And have made," and note the term, "and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth." Note the tense, in God's eyes, this is already done. This is the role for which we are being trained today. This training is certainly the hardest imaginable. But what a reward that beckons us at the end. We will be transformed into God beings, shedding our mortality and becoming part of God's family. And what the humanity remaining at this time can expect from Christ's return? Wars will come to an end. You must not turn to it, but you can read it later in Micha 4. Verses 1 to 4. Destroyed cities will be rebuilt. You can read it in Ezekiel 36, verses 33 and 35. Instead of diseases and pandemics, there will be healing. You can read it in Isaiah 33, verse 24. We will have no more food shortages. You can read this in Ezekiel 34, verses 26 and 27. And even deserts will become fertile ground. You can read this among other scriptures in Isaiah 51 and verse 3. Against all of this, the official goals of the World Economic Forum are a joke, let's be honest. But wasn't there something else? Didn't Yuval Harari boast about hackable animals? How clueless these people are, blinded by the ridiculous evolution lie. We have seen what man's potential is. But what will God accomplish with animals? Please turn with me to Isaiah 11, Isaiah 11, verses 6 to 9. Isaiah 11, verses 6 to 9. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the young goat, the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and the little child shall lead them. The crow and the bear shall graze, their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play by the cobra's hole, and the weaned child shall put his hand in the viper's den. They shall not hurt or destroy, nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the water covers the sea. God, the Creator, the owner, the ruler of the entire universe will even change the nature of wild animals. We have to conceive what is revealed and what is offered to us here. All the aspects listened so far are purely physical in nature, but God will also bring a complete restoration of human nature on a spiritual level. And to say this very clear, and once again, we all are offered the chance to actively participate in this already today. By carrying out our mission of God's church to proclaim the gospel as a testimony, and by keeping God's holidays as he commanded. And after Christ's return as king over this earth, we will rule by his side, of course in the hierarchy below him, but nevertheless equal to him, endowed with his perfect character and will and his omnipotence as a God being. At this point, I would like to briefly refer again to the Great Reset of the World Economic Forum. In Germany, the term is mostly used like a great restart. But in a commentary, I read an interesting article, an interesting note about it. The translation of reset as restart, as it is done in German, or reboot, is not quite accurate. In fact, reset means in a sense of setback to factory default. And how much more does this apply to the next stage of God's plan for mankind? The great white throne judgment and the second resurrection. After the millennium, God will resurrect all those people who have lived since Adam and were not part of the first resurrection or committed the unpardonable sin. These people will have a completely new chance to prove themselves, free from Satan's influence and equipped with the true understanding of God. And you and I, we will persevere to the if we persevere to the end and advance in our conversion, we'll be there for them, guiding and helping them to God's way and overcome their carnal nature, which still came about under Satan's influence. The Bible speaks of a period of 100 years, you can read it in Isaiah chapter 65, in which people will be judged. The Greek word krino can also be translated as to align or to straighten. And the craftsmen among us know that bringing a workpiece into its original or intended shape is to straighten it. We are workpieces of God. He intends us to become his masterpiece. So humanity is by no means just offered a reboot, because in this satanic world, a reboot or fresh start would only lead to the same results sooner or later. To take another example from technology, if your computer has a problem due to daily use and you reboot him, then you don't change anything in the conditions. And sooner or later, you will face again the same problem that you had in the first place. The only solution that is really sustainable, to use W Economic Forum terms, is a reset to factory default, and from that moment on, an operation that recognizes and consistently avoids all the errors previously committed. It will be our task to help explaining the errors to humanity that have been reset, that is their sins, based on God's law, and to help them repent. All will have the chance to claim Christ's sacrifice and use the Spirit offered to them to avoid these sins. And all will have the chance that we already have today to qualify for and eventually gain entrance to God's kingdom, the very family of God, to whom alone government and opinion over the earth and the entire universe is due, physical and spiritual. What an adventure, what a great hope and future we can look forward to for ourselves and all the billions of people who have not yet had this revealed to them. Let's always keep in mind, let's visualize that, as Mr. Macher said in a sermon not long ago. I've talked about this in a sermon before, looking at my nephews and nieces. But I forgot one point that I want to add here. On the dinner, I think, 3 days ago, I saw a young woman and her daughter, and the woman had some kind of disability. You could see it the way she spoke to her daughter. And yet she was there for her daughter, and more than that, the little girl, I would guess her about to be 6 or 7 years old, seemed at the same time as if she was holding her mother's hand. I don't know what other factors were behind this short scene, family circumstances or health conditions, but I felt a heart-melting love that touched me. And then I visualized the future for these two. Not a reboot, but a complete reset to factory settings, so to speak. And a life full of health, perhaps for the first time, freed from physical suffering and from spiritual plagues. I can only encourage all of us, whenever we behold suffering, empathize, and then visualize how wonderful God will bring everything to a good end. Let us consolidate our vision at every opportunity, for so much awaits us. One of the most quoted concepts from the Great Reset comes from a WEF commercial. It is that you will own nothing and be happy. Officially, it's about sustainable use of the Earth's resources by not owning anything, just renting everything. Critics complain that it is about expropriation and the abolition of property in the sense of redistribution. And of course, this does not mean the property of Klaus Schwab and his donors. But it is also completely irrelevant because all this does not concern us at all. If we do not slacken, if we always get up again when we fall, always go on and do not lose faith, hope, and love, then something completely different applies to us. Something that goes beyond all joy that can be imagined. Because we will actively participate in teaching humanity God's ways, which we are allowed to walk today. But more than that, as part of a God's family, we will be able to actively provide healings and are possibly involved in giving people back beloved relatives or partners they have lost. We will wipe away all the tears of humanity, as the Bible says, because we will be God. And this could include our family, our friends, and maybe everybody we've seen today in this hotel. If they choose God's way of life, just imagine. No, we are not affected by such half-baked promises of human leaders because our Lord is God, our God. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? You can read this in Romans 8, verse 32. So we see for you and for me, the Great Reset applies something completely else. We will own everything and be happy.